The Product Podcast is back with a brand new season. This time, we are featuring eight of the brightest minds in the industry. Our latest episodes will highlight insights, methods, and strategies that are being used at the top tech companies around the world.
If you are eager to start your product career, head to our website to learn more about product management certificates. This is Jay.
And this is Eva, and we hope you enjoy all the latest insights brought to you by Product School. Christopher B is the Senior Director of Product Development at Zillow. Based in Seattle, he made the transition to product after spending time as a senior engineering manager at Uber and a software development manager at Amazon. As a technical product leader, he's had some fascinating experiences, and we can't wait to hear all about them. Chris, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, so to jump right into it, we've got so much to ask you. I wanted to start by asking you, what inspired you to start a career in tech? Did you maybe have any family members working in tech when you were growing up?
I didn't have any family members that were working in tech per se. I really had more of a natural interest in business, which eventually led me to tech. I really love the idea of providing a product or service that helps people. I've always got excited about the core concepts and fundamentals of business in general. In my late teens and early 20s, I actually had my own company doing event management and production. And we were doing everything ourselves, myself and a small group of friends, and learned a ton through that. I was really sort of operating in a PM style role without realizing it. And that became sort of the catalyst to be interested in technology and be interested in the tech field in general. And even in that early time, this is sort of the late 90s, early 2000s, I realized that tech was a huge accelerator. You know, we were harnessing the power of email distribution, email lists, message boards, digital advertising. We had hand-built our website, and all of that sort of sparked my curiosity to how technical things work, which eventually led me down the path to work at a tech company.
Awesome. And so your background, as I think you mentioned, is in software engineering, and then you made the transition to product while you were at Amazon. So what's it like to transition from one to the other while you're in the same company, rather than moving from a software engineering job in one company to a product job in a different company?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to talk through that. I think, you know, I'll take it from two angles. There's sort of my specific path and then kind of general advice that maybe I'll give for folks who are thinking about a transition. You know, my specific path, I think, was a little unique, as most people's are. And for me, I'd started in the product world. I was a product manager at a couple of tech startups early on, smaller companies, became a PM at Microsoft and learned a lot and really kind of cut my teeth into product management. And then moved down to San Francisco, worked for Amazon Music. I was initially senior PM, senior TPM at Amazon, and transitioned into software development management. And then became a senior engineering manager at Uber over a product engineering group there, and now up here at Zillow, leading a product engineering group here in Seattle. So that was my path, and I had that transition point from PM to engineering, and then sort of back, but I never really left the product space. The engineering work that I did was very focused on the product side, very much user-facing features, customer-facing features, and that whole world. And I think for folks that are thinking about a transition, that maybe you're in an adjacent career, I think if you can do it at the company you're currently employed by, where you have rapport and you have a good sort of understanding of the company norms and of the practices that run the company, it's a much easier transition to make. I found that at Amazon, they were very willing to do internal transfers. Most companies are. So that's definitely an option. And we even have some programs here at Zillow that allow folks who are in a completely different career to go through a training program and then start off as software engineers. So there's a lot of these different types of programs that exist at companies. But, you know, really, I think if folks that are thinking about this or considering this, it's really a matter of stepping back and thinking holistically about what it is that really drives you and what it is that you're passionate about. What are the times at work that were the most exciting times to you, that you really felt alive, that you felt like everything was firing on all cylinders? and go deep on that. What specifically was the challenge at that time? Was it a technical challenge? Was it a problem that you were solving? Was it a customer issue that you were fixing? Was it a big launch and feeling the satisfaction of knowing that the customers are actually using your product now? And then sort of work backwards from that into what are the roles that are available within your company or maybe other companies that could allow you to do more of that. Because that's when you're going to do your best work, is when you're feeling passionate and excited about what you're doing.
Great. Those are both really good answers.
Yeah, absolutely. You kind of touched on the skills and like what you, what your kind of repertoire was as an engineer. And a lot of people are really curious about when you transition from one position to another, what kind of skills are needed and what kind of carries over. What would you say are the main skills that you brought from your engineering background into product management?
To start, I think estimating is a huge skill that I've brought over that has really helped me look at a product feature and have a sense of what it would take to build, how hard or easy it's going to be. I think building empathy for the dev team is another sort of softer skill that I've developed, knowing what they're going through, knowing how complicated situations can be, can in one hand help me unblock engineering teams and help me facilitate, you know, maybe a release or getting a problem solved, but also helps me provide air cover at times and really be able to articulate what maybe a problem is or what the engineering team's going through, which helps them have the space to get things done without a lot of pressure. And, you know, as I mentioned, I think debugging issues and being able to suggest solutions is probably the other really big obvious one that, that it's helped me with.
Yeah, totally. And so another skill that people are really curious about when they're trying to break into product management is UX. And we saw that you have some extensive UX experience from your time working at your previous companies. How important would you say it is for a product manager to have that in their skill set?
Yeah, generally speaking, I UX is a super important area to have as a skill set as a product manager. You know, I'd go so far to say that with you sort of need to have a decent handle on UX to be a great PM. I mean, you really need to understand what makes a great user experience. You should really understand the user journey, your customer use cases, what your overall value proposition is, and the user experience is how all that is manifest, right? That's the interface in which the user is experiencing your product. How I like to think about it really is that as a PM, you have T-based skills, or you should have T-shaped skills, where the horizontal bar is a set of areas that you have the basics, but maybe you're really good at collaborating with other experts. And then the vertical bar is one or maybe two areas where you go really deep. And the horizontal bar that I like to think about for a product manager is UX, tech, business and strategy, and data. And for me, my vertical bar is probably on the technical side. But for others, it may be UX. For others, it may be data, business strategy, et cetera. But I think having a base level competency in all those is really fundamental to being a good PM. And then maybe having one or two where you go deeper and are beyond just sort of the average, if you will, is important.
Absolutely. That's a really good way of thinking about it, because I know a lot of people who are approaching product management for the very first time, they feel a bit, maybe discouraged isn't quite the right word, but they feel a bit apprehensive about the fact, well, I'm not a UX expert and I'm not a data expert and I'm not a software engineer. So hearing that you need to have a broad overview of those skills and then a few things that you do really well, I think that's really reassuring for people who are like just trying to break into product. I want to go back a little bit to your educational background. I saw that you earned a Bachelor of Science from Rowan University. And one of the conversations around product management that's happening a lot at the moment is how traditional education prepares people for careers in product. And we kind of get the sense that while there are a few traditional courses that are kind of catching on to it, there are a lot of gaps in people's knowledge once they come out of traditional university and they're not fully prepared for product management. Do you think that what was your experience when you went through traditional university? Did you leave prepared for a product career, or did you have to kind of pick things up along the way as a graduate?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. And it's definitely a bit of a hot topic these days, given the extremely high cost of education and school debt that so many young people are taking on. So I think it depends is what I would say. for me, it did help in some ways, in the sense that undergrad gave me some time to figure out what I wanted to do. And then I got into a techno MBA program, which helped me get there. But I would say that's kind of the slow and expensive and less efficient route to get the skills that you need to be successful in a PM or other technical role. Everything that's taught in schools is available online at a fraction of the cost or potentially free. And you can typically go a lot deeper online as well. The depth of information that's out there and the variety of people you can learn from and that diverse perspective that you'll get through a lot of online content is something that I don't think universities match too well these days. So I think it depends. I think if you're young and unsure and you can afford it, a university can be a great option to learn. It's a great environment for learning. But if you're past your typical college years or you already have an undergrad degree in something unrelated, there's so many great options out there to learn, including boot camps. I think boot camps are another really great way to get the skills you need to enter the technical workforce. And that could be a coding boot camp, a product boot camp, a data science boot camp. There's a variety of those out there today. In fact, I should mention that actually in 2015, I took a couple months sabbatical and actually did a coding boot camp. I wanted to go deeper on my front end technical skills. I was already an engineering manager at the time. I was definitely a different profile than a lot of the folks that were in the program, but I decided, hey, I want to take some time off and just really go deep and really sharpen the skills. And I went through a full intensive, like 60, 70 hour a week coding boot camp in San Francisco at Hack Reactor. And that was great. It was a great experience. I learned a ton and it really opened my eyes to how much you can learn in a short amount of time when you're focused and you're motivated and you really want to learn the topic versus just sort of having to be there, as is the case with a lot of folks in college.
I think coding is on a lot of people's bucket lists. But like, I know every January 1st, I wake up and I say, right, this is the year that I learn how to code.
And inevitably, December 31st rolls around and we still haven't.
I forgot to learn how to code.
But speaking of resources, it's a really perfect segue here. What other kind of free kind of resources do you think people can find online in terms of, podcasts, books, or influential product people to follow? What would you recommend for someone if they're just trying to pick something up and not in a university setting or in a bootcamp setting?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, of course, in addition to the product podcast, I should start there.
Thank you. No free plug right there. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of great resources out there. I spent a decent amount of time on Medium. I find that there's a lot of really great topics and publications and authors out there that are willing to share their experience and can bring a really diverse perspective to a given topic. I write on Medium a bit myself, and I just find that to be a really great forum for information and more bite-sized information as well when you just want to read something, commuting or what have you. Honestly, Twitter can be a great resource as well. One approach is to just set up a separate Twitter account with just the folks that you want to follow. And you can Google around for lists of good product people, engineering people, infrastructure people, whatever area that you may be focused in and get a really nice list of folks to follow that way. And then Instapaper and Pocket are really good applications to save a lot of the articles you may find as you're kind of browsing and read when you have time. So those are some of the tools and resources. And then I think books are another great way. There's a great book summary service out there called Blinkist, which I've subscribed to for a few years. It's a great way to get a digestible version of a business or product or technology book in a very short, condensed format that you can, read in 20 minutes or so. But in terms of full books that I've read semi-recently, Inspired by Marty Kagan is a great overall end-to-end product management book. Okay. Great way to think about the customer. Measure What Matters by John Doerr is another book that goes through the OKR framework, which is used a lot of tech companies and a great way to set and measure success. And then finally, what I'd say is another area to really think about as you're trying to ramp up skills and build some expertise is to do a side project. I think side projects are a great way to force you to learn. They also become potentially a big asset for you when you're interviewing. It's something to talk about that's tangible, it's in the world. And going through the experience of building something from scratch, whether you're writing all the code yourself or doing all the design yourself or outsourcing parts of it, using services like Fiverr and Upwork to get things done and actually building and launching something on your own, becomes a really great way to build skills as well.
That's an awesome suggestion. Yeah. And we've written a ton about the power of side projects and how it can really be your foot in the door to your future job. Interviewers and employers will often see it and kind of, you know, see your self-starting type of style, and it kind of turns into something bigger. So definitely, definitely good advice.
It's great dinner party talk as well.
Yeah, sure. I think so. Switching gears a little bit here. We saw that you gave a talk not too long ago called Getting Your Teams Running Like Clockwork. Could you kind of give us a little more background on that and tell us what inspired this?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, for me, thinking about the process that exists within an organization is really an important part of being a leader within an organization. I think the process is the glue that binds a tech organization together. I think when it's done well, it reduces overhead and ambiguity and can increase focus and engagement. And what I've found is there's really no universally accepted approach. I think even within a company, sometimes between teams, you'll see that things are run differently or thought about differently. And really the article and the talk that I gave is really just a collection of best practices and observations that I've made throughout my career that I think have worked well, kind of sampling from a few of the different companies I've worked for, and just thought it was a good way to put that together to help people think through some of those challenges working in a company.
So changing track again a little bit, I know those who are currently starting out as product managers, or maybe those who are, you know, still very much on the entry level, we see all of these different job titles in product, like you have obviously product manager, senior product manager, product lead, director of product. There's a whole lot of titles out there. And each company seems to do it in a different way. So I was just wondering, what's your experience like as a senior product manager? Is it a big step up from product manager in terms of responsibilities and decision-making powers? Or is it a bit more like, I don't know, hands off, more hands on? Like, what's happening there?
Yeah, sure. So the way I think about moving to the senior and principal, and some companies have a staff level product manager role, sort of that senior IC role, independent contributor IC role as a product manager, sort of the mix and the focus changes a little bit. Going back to sort of that T-shaped skill model I mentioned earlier, it tends to be that the business and strategy pillar of that tends to go a little deeper, or needs to go a little deeper as you move up to those senior levels. It becomes a little less about your hands-on kind of tech or UX or data skills. Those still need to be there, and usually by this point in your career, they're pretty well developed. But the business and strategy side, I think, becomes more and more important as you get to those senior levels. Additionally, I think the ability to deal with ambiguity increases. Your scope increases. Typically, you're going to take on bigger, higher impact feature areas. You're going to typically work with a broader set of stakeholders. Just your overall impact on the company or on the group that you may be working in is going to be higher when you get to those more senior levels.
So, I mean, you yourself are a senior director of product development. What's that day-to-day like specifically for you?
Yeah, I can go through that a little bit. It varies quite a bit. Yeah, each day is sort of a new set of challenges, is what I would say. But some of the core things that are typically in a given week, lots of one-on-ones with my team, helping them set and achieve their goals, talking through any challenges that they may have, making sure that their work's aligned with their career ambitions, and just making them feel motivated, excited, engaged to come into work every day. Is sort of the first job, if you will. The next piece is probably really around meeting with other leaders across the company and making sure that we have alignment on product strategy, prioritization, goals, really kind of connect the dots between the different pieces of the company. Allocating resources, I'm often thinking about, are we staffed correctly in different areas? Are different projects overstaffed, understaffed? How do we make sure that we have the right group of people able to work on the projects and the initiatives that we have coming up? You know, thinking about the customers and another piece of what I try and spend time every week doing, whether that's reading customer feedback or reading UX research results, or I've done some shadowing where I actually sit on calls and listen to some of our customers calling in and really kind of get that firsthand view when I can. There's a lot of pieces of my job that are the process and sort of our operational cadence. So that includes setting, reviewing OKRs, reviewing project status, quarterly and annual planning. That whole body of work takes up a good amount of my week usually. And then finally, interviewing and hiring is a big piece of my job as well. And making sure that I'm thinking about the overall talent bar at our company and that we're doing a good job hiring and we're bringing in the right people. And then onboarding folks that are new, helping out with mentorship, helping people get the right mentors and sort of bringing people into the organization is another just sort of general theme as well.
Well, speaking of hiring, we're always on the lookout for cool opportunities to recommend to our students. And I couldn't help but notice that at Zillow, you're currently hiring. So I just wanted to ask you, what are the sort of things that you really look for in like an ideal candidate for a product job?
Yeah, I can talk through that a little bit. So I think, you know, beyond the basic descriptions and qualifications for the role, if I'm interviewing from industry, there's a couple things I'm really looking for in a PM role specifically. So examples of strong ownership, examples of having a bias for action, being able to work well in a team environment is very important. And then I would say examples of high judgment, which is a little more subjective, but I think this can be in strategy, this can be in roadmap choices, prioritization of features, design choices, product strategy. And I'm looking for examples of how they were able to make good judgment calls that ended up being the right decision for the customer or the right decision for the company. You know, I guess, you know, to summarize, it's sort of, I'm looking for people that are problem solvers, people that can deal with ambiguous problems and figure out what needs to be done, how to do it, and how to measure if it was successful.
Ideal.
Yeah, definitely. That's definitely good advice for someone who's looking to, you know, make sure they at least leave a good impression on their interviewer. And speaking of things that people can learn, you're actually a self-described lifelong learner. And we are always talking about skills that people can add to, you know, their repertoire and what skills are valuable. What are some of the soft skills that you find to be invaluable? And what are some of the new skills that you're actually looking to gain in the upcoming year?
Yeah, absolutely. I can talk to it a little bit kind of on the softer skill side. You know, being a good listener is really important. And that's often an underrated skill and something that's not always obvious as something that you need to really work on and practice. It doesn't come naturally to a lot of people. So that's really important. And kind of tied in with that is being able to bring people along and build consensus. As a PM, it's very tempting to just always drive, which is important. And you do need to have that spirit and that ambition, but making sure that you're bringing people along as you're executing and building consensus with the right stakeholders internally, potentially externally, is really important. And sort of another skill that I would put in that general bucket is the ability to create clarity from chaos.
That's love great. That.
That's how really I like to describe it. And what I'm referring to there is the concept of in a given organization or in a given product offering or in a marketplace, there's often a lot of chaos. There's a lot of different ways to think about things. There's a lot of different ways to frame a problem. There's a lot of different opinions to corral. And it's very easy to sort of get pulled in a lot of different directions and really a challenge to bring that together into a key cohesive point of view and to focus the team, to focus the energy in the right direction. And that's a skill to work on for sure. So those are some of the ones I think are important in terms of me personally. I've definitely been thinking about how to be an even better active listener and, you know, really be aware of other people's needs and make sure that I'm thinking about things from other people's perspectives as well as my own or the company's. Now to mention side projects, I'm doing a side project this year. I'm working on sort of some search technology stuff with Elasticsearch and building out a small application there. That's just been a hard skill, kind of technical skill thing I've been working on.
Nice. So you've already had so many great career milestones. I know that there's a lot of our community out there who would look at a career like yours and say, yeah, that's fantastic. Do you have any like new goals that you've set for yourself? Like what would what would your life look like in 10 years time if you could design it flawlessly?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. I mean, there's a couple of things, I guess, on the longer term horizon as I look out and think about things. You know, I would like to eventually probably write a book and sort of share a lot of the learnings back that I've had over the years, you know, and find opportunities to give back to the community. So speaking engagements, sharing more through writing on Medium or other places, working with underrepresented groups in tech is another area that I really want to spend more time in. I've done some of that work over the last couple of years. It's been really rewarding. So those are some of the broader goals. You know, I think getting involved with earlier stage companies later in my career would be interesting, sort of as a, I don't say as a retirement gig, but, you know, maybe in the later years when I can sort of do that more in my leisure, that would be interesting.
Yeah, when you're going into the sunset.
That's right. That's right, on the way out. So, yeah, but yeah, things are going great in general, and I've got a lot of exciting product goals here at Zillow for around enhancing the home shopping experience, and there's plenty to keep me busy in the next couple of years here at Zillow, so super excited about that as well.
Awesome.
Well, we are very excited to see what your books and side projects are going to bring us, because that sounds exciting just off the bat. And we always have to wrap up our podcast with a very specific question that we think is important. What is the greatest lesson that product management has ever taught you?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. You know, I think when I think about product management holistically, it's super important to keep in mind the value proposition behind your product. And the way I like to think about that is, why would somebody trade their time or money for your product compared to alternatives? And it's really important to have a broad, very realistic look at your customers, what their needs are, and how your offering is better than other options. It's easy to get lost in the day-to-day or the specifics of a company, or sort of put the blinders on and have a very rosy outlook of your product or service. And, you know, to really step back and look at it as a third party or somebody who knows nothing about your company and the internal workings is really an important skill to develop and something to think about pretty regularly.
That's very good advice.
Great note to end on.
I'm going to use that for my own kind of life going forward. So we just want to say thank you for joining us.
What did you think about today's episode? Let us know. Head over to productschool.com or our Slack channel to join in the conversation. Catch us next week when we speak to another top-minded product.